Yes, and we are live. What's up, everybody? Welcome to a special live edition of the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. It is April 24th, a Friday. Time is just flying by. I read something that the memories that we, in our sort of older age, the memories that we like really have is when something is different from our everyday lives, right? If like you're working every day, like every Monday, you've got this article or you're doing this at work. It just all starts to blend together. And it's like when you go on vacation or something unique happens that you really feel like it, but really does feel like time's moving quickly. What's up, Jason?
Yeah. Don't mind me. I'm just vibing to that countdown music. That was some good stuff. Good find on that. As parents to young kids, I think the truest statement is the days are long and the years are short. It's hard to believe my son's going to be 6 here next week. And it's just, I know you're going through the same stuff. You blink and now they're already in youth sports and you're the taxi cab. And, I just took my son to the Giants Dodgers game yesterday, just talk about memories, something make a difference. So, just trying to enjoy every minute, trying to enjoy talking some fantasy baseball with my boy Vlad here. Happy to be back on the mic. We had a pretty good fill in last week. Hope you didn't have to pay him too much, to join us, but, excited to talk some ball today.
Yeah, me too. Me too. There's a lot that's been going on. It's like every day is a new day of closer chaos and absolute mayhem. Edwin Diaz has had surgery and he's out for a while. We had Jeff Hoffman, essentially part of a committee now. And it's just every day, just more atrocities, at least from a fantasy perspective, which is much, not as bad as real life ones, but yeah, come save me.
There's closer crimes left and right, right? I mean, there might not be more than 5 closers by middle of the year. This year has been so interesting. It was definitely the year to not invest heavy other than Mason Miller, who's probably worth about the number 4 overall pick if we're doing it right now. But man, if you waited, got the Riley O'Brien and the Paul Sewald, you are just sitting on a gold mine right now. But, that's going to change here shortly. AJ Puck's coming back. Riley O'Brien, I don't believe is as good as the skills are showing right now. But closers is a whole nother story. And it looks like we got definitely some more fab money being spent this weekend from what's coming up with, especially the young pitchers with our mustache, Peyton Tolley.
Yeah. You must stash him, and he's got the great mustache. It's a little double entendre there. Good job, Jason.
I did mustache him in the main event that we're in together. I know. So I'm pretty happy about that.
I know. So, I mean, that's probably a good place to start. Some of the news and things and events that are happening will sort of filter through what we discussed today. We're gonna start things off the top with a look at free agents that are available this weekend in your 15 and 12 teamers, whether that be NFBC or elsewhere, if you do run fab. And we'll start there, and we have a list. Jason and I compiled a list of about 15 to 20 players that are like on the borderline of 15 and 12 teamers, guys that have been struggling, hitters and pitchers, that we're not sure what to do with, even ourselves. Like, we have these guys on the roster. Do we drop them? Do we keep running with them? Are there better alternatives? So we'll go through all of that here. But Peyton Tolley is like the clear front runner here in fab this week. And this is without even a guarantee of a job, really. Right. Because Sonny Gray isn't expected to be out that long. It's supposed to be like a minimum IL stint. And he's just, what did he fire? 11 strikeouts. He didn't get the win, but he was just like absolutely awesome. And, for example, like Brian Bayo has been so bad. Like, at what point do they just, send him down or convert him to relief or just figure something out? Because I don't think you can keep an arm like Tolley's out of the rotation.
I think that they have some blood contract with Pedro Martinez. They're not allowed to not start Brian Bayo, if I had to guess, because they treat him like he is, an ace, and he does not deserve a spot, especially in front of guys like Toll and Connolly Early and the arms that they have. So it'll be interesting what they do. I hope it's not for Early, because I have a lot of shares of him. But is it Toll or Tolley, Vlad? I didn't do my research before this.
As far as I know, it's Peyton Toll. That's what I know. Yeah, I'm sure the comments.
There you go.
comment section will yell at us if need be. You would think that you know, two professional podcast hosts would know, but I think we're just caught up right now in the moment. But I can tell you, Peyton Toll and Connelly Early, there's no reason for Early to go anywhere. He's been pitching really well. I know that's another guy that you were into early on. But, you know, Peyton Toll right now, he's available in about 42% or 32% of main events. He's available in 87% of OCs. And we're going to see some heavy bidding. Quick question for you. When a prospect comes up like that, and I know you see my estimates, bid ranges, I typically have these pitchers, like, you know, Toll that comes up much higher in the 15er than the 12 teamers, because they're a lot more replaceable. You think I'm like in the right ballpark with those? Because a lot of times a guy like that, or, you know, some of the other guys that come up, or even like Cade Cavalli was dropped, and say he comes off his 10 strikeout inning. Like, these are fungible guys a lot of times in 12 teamers. I don't think they're worth triple digits, most of these starters.
You know, as well as anybody, these 12 team leagues, the bid range from $1 to $300. You know, so your ranges are usually pretty accurate. You know, there is a outside argument that these guys maybe are worth more in the 12s because of the difference maker versus the 15s, but I have no idea what they're going to go for. You know, you'll have a league, you'll get a, you know, Toll for $60, and then another league he'll go for $360. So, you know, it's your guess is as good as anybody's, and you're the best in the business at that range. So I think you're pretty on it, but 15 teams are much easier to predict than the 12 teamers. And, mm-hmm. you know, you can have five different OCs, and that bid range could literally range $300 for the same guy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so right now, you know, we've got Toll over 100. You know, that's pretty clear. Got a pretty high max range. But yeah, you're going to see some crazy stuff on him for sure, especially after an outing like that, his reputation and everything there. And after that, I mean, for guys that are like readily available, you know, someone like Lucas Giolito, who isn't necessarily like a, you know, gotta have kind of guy, but I think him being in San Diego is going to be a little appealing. In shallow leagues, I don't think there's any reason to bid on, you know, 10 or 12 teamers. There's no reason to go after Giolito. And then the other problem is he wasn't drafted in most main events. So unless he was dropped, until he comes up and pitches and we see how he looks, he's not really going to be a factor. But you think someone like that with his name brand recognition, if he has a good start and comes available, could be worthwhile.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how long it takes him to ramp up. Is he just starting his spring? Has he been throwing? Is this a 2 week? Is this a 6 week? You know, I think I was listening to Rob Silver, and he was saying, you know, would you rather have him or Jose Berrios? There's not much different in the skills. It's just the fact that one of them is more of an unknown in the Giolito. So, yeah, I would not be very excited about him. I do like San Diego and what they're doing. I'm not spending a lot of money on him. You can get some wins, you get some strikeouts, but his underlying was not pretty last year. And for him to take the contract that he did, I think he needs a new agent because he was holding up for more money. He only got $3 million, I believe. So it'll be interesting because he's not going to be in most, if not all, of the player pools until he starts. So we're probably a minimum of a couple weeks to a month away.
A big hitter that's going to be on the radar this weekend is Ronnie Mauricio. So with the Francisco Lindor injury, Lindor with the calf strain that was more serious than Juan Soto's, something came out right before we started recording that it would be at least until mid-May. And there's a potential that it could go to Memorial Day weekend or beyond. But, you know, obviously snake bit for the Mets in general and, of course, for Lindor. But Mauricio, yeah, he's been up here before. We've spent money for him before. We've seen $50+ bids on him. And he's third base eligible right now. He's going to play his second game at shortstop today. Do you see a situation where he becomes like a fantasy asset that we can rely on? And what type of, you know, money are you willing to spend if you need a little spark plug hitter?
You know, it looks like They're keeping Bo at third base, which is really good for Mauricio, because there was a scenario where they moved Bo to short and put Beatty at third and Vientos at first. And, you know, Mauricio is kind of like last year, where he was kind of the super utility guy and didn't get that everyday playing time that we know young guys need to succeed. You know, he was killing it at AAA. He's a five-tool guy, got the skills, but there is not a spot to play once Lindor's back, right? Mm-hmm. So say it's 6 weeks. You know, once Lindor's back, he's the everyday shortstop. That is not an argument. Bo's playing third. You know, second base is Simeon. First base, they have kind of a rotation. But, you know, there's really not a spot for Mauricio in that case. Now, he could kill it and, you know, earn it and put Polanco behind him or Vientos behind him. But these are veterans that they're not going to displace easily. So, you know, when I'm doing my bids, as much as I like him, I'm basically tempering mine for 6 weeks, and that's going to change the math rather than a rest of the season guy, you know. But as you know, with Fab, we're in a week to week game. So if he can help you for 6 weeks, he could be really valuable. So I got to do some more research. He's batting ninth for the Mets, who are not scoring any runs right now. It's not super exciting, but his AAA numbers were exciting. The skill set he came up with last year was exciting, but he struggled against major league pitching last year as well.
Yeah, and of course we're always looking for that difference maker, right? Because at least in 15 team Fab, we're looking each week, and it's a mess. Like I put my bid Rangers in for the weekend, going to be tweaking them all weekend, but there's just nothing exciting on the hitter front. Like it's dudes like Cody Clemens, because he gets a bunch of righties, you can pop him in the lineup. Like you know, Kobe Mayo, who's hitting 164, but has a couple of home runs. Like, it's really dry out there. And then, you know, there always will be somebody that's going to overpay for the hot hitter, right? Like, oh, Eldemaro Vargas has figured it out after a decade. Let me buy in. And especially, by the way, wait till you see what he might do in Mexico City, right? That might even drive, you know, the bids up this weekend. But it's usually pretty gnarly out there in the with the hitters, at least so far this season.
Yeah, I was really in on Sam Antonacci last week because of that and the batting average and the steals. But this has been a pitcher-heavy Fab to start the year. And, you know, pitching dominates our Fab dollars. You know, very infrequently do we have the Nick Kurtz for $300 like we had last year. It's usually the $200-$400 pitchers that we see. You know, and with this weekend, it's no exception. You know, you got 3-4 really good arms on top of Toll. You know, if Christian Scott came out and didn't have five walks, there was an argument that he was going to be probably in the same ballpark as far as bid ranges as him. You know, you got JR, your boy, JR Richie, who I know you've been touting and drafting holds, that he looked like the real deal, right? He knocked my Fuentes shares in the dirt to a point where Fuentes had 7 strikeouts in 3 innings, but I don't see a role for him moving forward with Richie at worst being SP6, if not, you know, displacing one of the top 5. You know, Connor Prelip, looked really good, and he has underlying in the minors are good. And then the pop-up Walbert Urena throwing 100, you know, Sunday night, you know, looks like a possible add too. And I know he was added, but he's available quite a bit. So I'm fascinated to see where these bid ranges are going to fall. And then we still have the closer chaos as well. So, you know, it just continues.
Yeah, I mean, so many places we can go and discuss. As far as the young arms, let's address the Braves situation now. So we know Spencer Strider is going to be back soon. It could be as early as next week and at Coors, which obviously not ideal for anyone, but not necessarily that scary. It's just really adjusting to velocity, especially we're still in April. But Spencer Strider will be back in that rotation, but the rotation isn't all that firm, right? So there still is the possibility, you know, with J.R. Richie being able to grab a slot there with even Didier Fuentes. I think you might see some Fuentes drops. I don't know if I would do that. It'd be a little premature. And that's mainly because, well, first of all, injuries can strike at any time. You've got, Ronaldo Lopez has been really struggling, both him and Grant Holmes. Like, a case could be made that they're not your, you know, like they're not going to be able to make it through the whole season. And we know Ronaldo had his injury issues last year. Grant Holmes missed the last couple of months of the season. There's a possibility there. So Strider comes back, obviously still have Sale, J.R. Ritchie, as of now, we'll see what happens in the next couple of days. It, obviously, he pitched well enough to stay in the rotation, right? He had an ERA under one. He's got right mindset. He gave up that home run first pitch to James Wood, like welcome to the majors, and he just kind of smiled and then settled down. And it was a really nice seven innings. I mean, the Braves know him; they like him. He's a top prospect for a reason. I've been holding him in Maine in my main event, but just hope he stays up, right? Because I'd rather have a guy in the rotation who I could mix in. But I don't know. I just don't know if that's the case. Like, we're not going to see Ronaldo until Monday now. He was supposed to have a two-start week. Instead, he got destroyed. It was at one inning on Monday or Tuesday, and then now he's not going to pitch till next week. So that makes it even tougher decision. Do I have Ronaldo Lopez? Do I start him, and get in trouble again with two starts? His velocity is down, all this stuff. But yeah, I just covered a lot there, but basically to say that who the heck knows what's happening there at the Braves rotation. It's just a lot of good arms.
Well, I mean, Martin Perez is their fifth starter who got released unclaimed, and he's reclaimed his fifth starter job. So, they didn't like him enough to keep him on the team when they needed a bullpen arm. Not to mention Bryce Elder's pitching out of his mind. We all know, what Bryce Elder's been in the past. He looks really good, but it's kind of fascinating. I mean, J.R. Ritchie's going to have another start next week. Yeah, I mean, I would bet pretty good money on it, but what is long-term look at? Grant Holmes is pitching with a tear in his UCL. It's not a matter of if, it's when he's done for the year. Mm-hmm. He's trying to pitch through it. And like you said, there's Raylo's not right, whatever that means. So the Fuentes shares, might be valuable too. His start was fascinating too. I think he had like a 28% ball rate. Like, he threw too many strikes. And just pounded the zone. But, you have a guy that's a two pitch pitcher. He has a third pitch that's a splitter, but he only throws it about 6-7% of the time against lefties. These major league hitters are too good for a 98 mile an hour fastball and a slider. We know that there's very few guys that can survive with that. Even Strider had to develop more pitches in order to be really, really effective. So I don't know what to do with my shares of him, but I really liked what I saw with Ritchie, to a detriment of my shares of Fuentes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Ronaldo Lopez so far, a walk rate of almost 12%. Of course, a lot of that damage came in that last start. Swinging strike rate, like the strikes just aren't hitting. It's 8.5% right now. And the fastball velocity, it's down about a tick and a half from like 95.5 to 94 so far this year. So definitely reason for concern. One thing that I think I'll mention is it's a mistake that I have made sometimes quite often is even though it's not even the tea leaves, you just like literally see it. Like, guy is struggling, guy's velocity is down, and yet still I'll start him because he has two and the two starts look good on paper. So this is me stopping myself from that. And let me see what I can find to maybe like not start Ronaldo Lopez next week. If it goes well, that's good. So be it. Then I have a guy I don't have to drop right away.
And maybe that's a preview for our future conversation of, do we start, bench, or drop him? I mean, there's an argument to drop Ronaldo Lopez right now with the velocity and the walk rate. That's a pretty bad combination to not throw strikes with the lower velocity. That's almost a fact that if there's an injury in there. And you just drop him, Vlad. You don't have to worry about that decision to start him.
Yeah. Yes. I'll drop him in the league we're in, the main event we're in together, so you could pick up and enjoy.
Cool. I'll bid $2 on him just for the league mates.
All right. Before we get to the some of these drops that we're going to discuss, potential drops, a couple other names in the mix. I wanted to ask you about Dalton Rushing, because obviously, we have a lot of history now with Dalton Rushing just from this week. He's been in the news a lot. I want to just say that I like to be just not like a dumb fan, like somebody like, Ooga Ooga Dodgers, screw the Giants. Like, I'm a person, I'm a human. I saw Rushing say F them, to Jung Hoo Lee. There's no going around that, right? And so when I see Logan Webb hit him, and I know something about like body language with pitchers. It's like if you hit and you kind of like instinctively turn back, it's like I messed up. But when you're just still staring him down, you did it on purpose. And Webb did it on purpose. This is old hard. Old school baseball. I respect that, somebody had a STFU Rushing. So You know, just saying, just wanted to put that out there. But from a fantasy perspective, how do you treat somebody like that in like who doesn't play all the time? How can you get him on your team?
You know, a sidebar real quick. I was actually at that game sitting about eight rows behind home plate and watched him. You know, what's not being talked about was that pop-up slide that Rushing did on Adamas, and he could have hurt him really bad. He came up right when Adamas was jumping over him, and he was about 4 feet outside the baseline. So I was surprised that there wasn't another retaliatory action by the Giants after that. But Rushing, you know, I think what we say, rivalries are good. This is great. Get the Giants Dodgers. I mean, there hasn't been some hatred between the two teams since, you know, I mean, Muncy and Bumgarner had that get it out of the, well, or get it out of the ocean, yeah. You know, but since kind of Puig Bumgarner, right. You know, that was kind of when the, hey, we don't like each other. Yeah. So I really like this. I like the fire. Rushing's been playing amazing. This is, you know, the rich get richer, and man, from being close there behind home plate, Rushing is built to be a catcher. That guy has the thick lower half. He looks, and he just looks comfortable at the plate. He does not get off balance. He looks like a real hitter, but the big but, they have Will Smith, and he's a pretty darn good catcher and a pretty darn good hitter, and they're not going to platoon. They're not going to split 50-50. And they have a guy named Shohei Ohtani kind of filling that DH spot. So until Ohtani's playing outfield, which I know a lot of analysts are clamoring for, which is not going to happen, Rushing's going to play 2 days a week. That's a hard fantasy thing to handle. Now, there's enough bad catchers that you don't hate even starting him 2 days a week because he's producing. But it's kind of fantasy irrelevant for me with Rushing, even as good as he is. What about you?
Yeah, it's hard to say, but in 12 teamers, it's a no dog. In 15 teamers, man, I was in a pickle last week because I really didn't want to go more than 20 for Rushing. I think I had 25 as my max in the article, and I think he went for like 25 on the dot. And I had a $25 bid with him and then Campusano behind him, and then I dropped them both. I'm like, you know what? It's not really worth it here. I'd rather take like another week of Kybert Ruiz for what I already have in my lineup. Ended up going with Camposano, but like, you're right. Like the playing time is really tough to go by, but even 2 days a week, I mean, he's not going to stay that high. He's not going to hit a home run every game. It's not humanly possible. So I just haven't been going there. And of course all bets are off if for whatever reason Will Smith gets hurt, but there really is no room for him. I mean, he covered first base once when Freddie Freeman, because Freddie Freeman had a baby, or his wife had a baby. And, you know, a DH, he could step in for DH on the occasion if it turns into a thing where Ohtani actually sits on days he pitches. But I think it was just once out of a precaution last week. I don't know if I could really do that. And I will just say, I do want to say this about the Dodgers. You know, like a lot of people hate the Dodgers because of the, you know, the money and the riches and all that. But when you look at it from like a player perspective, by the way, Jay, for those who listen to this on the air, Jason raised his hand. He hates the Dodgers. From a player perspective, you can't actually like Dalton Rushing is kind of the first villain-esque guy because Mookie Betts is lovable by everyone. Right. Max Muncy, Funky Muncy, by the way, wearing the shirt. Kyle Tucker, like, come on, what's the worst you got on him his jawline or whatever? Come on, that's messed up. You know, Otani's the man. You can go for the gambling stuff if you want, the low-hanging fruit. Freddie Freeman, I mean, these are good guys. Everyone likes Glasnow. He's a good interview. You can't really hate. So here comes in Rushing. He's feeling himself. He's hitting bombs every time. And so he's getting a little bit, too big for his britches.
Yeah, it was funny. I went to the Giants Dodgers game, actually the night game, when Patrick Bailey hit a homer, and I actually hysterically started laughing because I just got done saying he's the worst hitter in the majors, and then he hits a mic drop homer. But I was telling my colleagues who I took to the game, they're Dodger fans, like the problem with this rivalry is that there's too many likable Dodgers. Like you were just saying, Ohtani, how can you not like him? You know, Freddie Freeman's a family guy, you know. Mookie Betts, just a great athlete. You know, there's not, you know, just that I don't like that guy. That guy's face bothers me. And, you know, even Rushing, I'm not there yet. And he doesn't play enough to really create that. So yeah, there's too much likability on the Dodgers, which makes me dislike the team even more.
That's fair. Very fair. That makes sense. Yeah. A quick touch on some of these, two start guys for next week. We don't have to go in too deep on them, but is there anyone from this group that you would consider going for? And that's Jack Kochanowicz of the Angels at White Sox versus Mets. You got Peter Lambert, former, got him out of the Rockies, and then he went overseas, played in Japan last year. He had a nice couple of starts. He gets at Baltimore, at Boston. That's pretty tough. Jacob Lopez, walking everybody and their mothers at home, Kansas City and Cleveland. You got Tyler Molle, fresh off the gem against the Dodgers at Philly, at Tampa. Any of these guys worth a double digit bid?
You know, luckily for me, I build my teams pitching heavy, so I'm not streaming two start pitchers off the waiver, because this is where it gets really damaging to your ratios. That being said, Peter Lambert, Uncle Ted just said it. He has an insane whiff rate. Like his stuff looks like it plays up, and on Houston rather than Colorado, there's a chance that he can be all right. Tyler Molle, I do have on, one, if not two of my teams. He looked really good against the Dodgers, but he had looked really bad before that. I do think I'm going to fire him up for the two start at Philly, at Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. Tampa Bay's not as scary as at Philly, but Philly's not really hitting right now either. Yeah. So this is the time of year to start in Philly. It's a little cooler. I'm trying to avoid most of the streamers, though. Anybody stand out for you?
I could see Jack Kochanowicz having a couple of decent starts, but I'm afraid. Like a guy who can't really punch anyone out, who's been just a little bit lucky and is going to go against red hot Murakami and Montgomery, Colson Montgomery. Like, we already knew what Colson Montgomery was, right? Like, super streaky guy, high strikeout rate. There's a correlation there. Like, you just kind of know for fantasy when you can bench a guy like that in deep league. And when you should be just starting him and playing him in DFS and betting on him and all that. Murakami's obviously a lock and load. You're pretty much playing him every day. But yeah, I don't think I can go there. I don't think I can do Kochanowicz. And I think it's important what you said. You want to kind of build your teams. Not everyone does it in a way where you're not having to chase them, especially in April, right? We don't want to go there.
Yeah. You want to chase strikeouts, you want to chase wins, but, you might not get many strikeouts from these guys either. So it might be better to have a middle reliever getting, the four or five strikeouts instead of the 6-7 with the damaging ratios. So, starting Lambert in Baltimore, in Boston, that's a good question, Joe. Baltimore and Boston have been severely struggling so far, their offenses, but they also have the talent to break out pretty quickly. If I have Lambert, there's no reason to not start him because you have him on your team or you picked him up. So I guess the answer is yes. Am I starting him? What about you, Vlad?
Yeah, it's what kind of team do you have? I mean, are you in a 12-teamer where there are several really good options available and you're just chasing a two-start week? I wouldn't do that. I think in a 15-teamer, if your pitching staff isn't all that good, I think you can go there. But we see these things go awry much too often. I mean, these are humans, they're super inconsistent. And, no one here is Jose Soriano, right? So you can't just continuously pitch gem after gem after gem.
True that.
Yeah. We'll actually touch on the closers. We have some closer fab targets. We'll talk about them when we get to the end of our little discussion here, but we're going to talk about hitters and pitchers for drop consideration. This could be for a 12 or a 15 teamer. And let's just kind of go through these by position. Like, if somebody is a start or a bench or a drop, this is a Jason special.
Yeah. I can't take credit for it. Listen to a lot of podcasts right now, and there's a lot of good information about drop meters and drops and starts. And so I thought it'd be fun for Vlad and I have some guys on my team. A guy that came to mind immediately for this exercise is Caleb Durbin. You draft him in the 15th round for speed, for runs, and he has just been a zero across the board. What do I do with someone like that? So I thought Vlad and I can kind of talk through this through the 15 team lens, but if there's anybody specifically on the 12s we want to touch on as well, Vlad, we can do that. What do I keep starting him, waiting for him to break out? Do I put him on my bench, and hope I find a better backup, or do I drop him and free up that roster, that valuable seven-man bench roster spot? So we can get started with it. And Caleb Durbin, batting 141, seven runs, zero homers, seven RBIs, zero stolen bases. That's not good, Bob.
It's really bad. It's been killing you so far. And then, you know, there's so many inputs into this, into making this decision. It's, do you have someone in your bench? Yes or no. Is there someone relevant in Fab that you can pick up and maybe hold him on the bench for now till he gets going? Because forget about draft costs. Forget about like where you drafted this guy. I think this should be like out of our heads by now. It's what do we think his rest of the season value is? And Caleb Durbin was a good prospect. He's a good hitter. We know exactly what he is. He can run. He can steal bases. He can hit a few home runs. And he can help maybe a little bit in average. He hasn't been running. He's been having a tough time acclimating to his new team. And he's got, you know, super low barrel rate and you know, can't hit the ball hard. And so, you know, does he have a place on our team? Can our team use stolen bases? Do we think he's going to start running? Like, you know, maybe digging into what are the reasons that he isn't running? Is it, you know, where he's in the batting order and all this stuff? So I think it's always contextual. And in a 12-teamer, I mean, he's a, you know, could drop him last week, you drop him this Sunday. In a 15-teamer, it's got to ask all those questions around it.
Yeah, I think he's not running because you can't steal first. You have to get on base to run.
Isn't that the truth?
You know, it's an interesting looking underneath the hood a little bit. You know, a stat that when I started looking really deep at the stuff 3 or 4 years ago, I thought it was corollary. It would be better if you dropped it, but the O swing percentage, it seems kind of across the board as guys get more passive and less aggressive and kind of be more. When you see that O swing drop, you almost see a correlation with their numbers start to drop. And I'm looking at Durbin from his minor league numbers to his first year in Milwaukee last year. You know, he was all the way up to 35% as an O swing, which is a little high when he was in AAA with Milwaukee. First of the year in the majors, 24%. Now he's at 21.6. So it tells me he's not attacking the ball. He's missing too many good pitches. I know that's an outside the zone swing, but the zone swing is dropping too. He's at 58.6%. So, you know, I almost like to see a little more aggressiveness there. I think he's trying to fit in. And so, you know, it's hard playing going from Milwaukee to Boston, right? That's a big market change. And when you start to struggle, you start to press. We're human beings. So for me with Durbin, he in a 15 team, he's a bench right now. If I can come up, you know, with a streamer for the week at third base or second base in that matter. But the fact that he plays every day is a reason I'm not dropping him rather than someone else later on that list, like a Marcelo Mayer, who we'll get into. But he's currently a bench for me. What about you?
Yeah, he's the same. I think I even have him. I still have him on a 12-teamer, and it's one where it's just I just kind of got screwed in the corner infield. And so I think he's somebody that I might drop there. And also I have stolen bases with other players. So I don't necessarily need to hold on to him. And I don't think he's a guy that people are going to go out of their way to scoop up. But in 15 teamers, I agree with you. He's somebody I would bench.
Yeah.
Let's package these four guys together. They're all corner infielders and just run through them all together. You got Alec Bohm of the Philadelphia Phillies, Kyle Manzardo, kind of a platoon guy now, usually a power guy, Marcello Mayer, and Brett Beatty. All these guys are struggling. All four of them have just one home run on the year. Not much else in terms of production. Most are hitting at or below the Mendoza. What do you think of those? Like, who stands out to you? Who are you more likely to keep in a 12 or in a 15?
Was this like a Mary divorce kill exercise?
Yeah.
Alec Bohm is getting really unlucky. I think he's got like a 160 BABIP. He's obviously dealing with a lot of personal stuff with his parents. He's suing his own parents, fired his agent. That's got to be hard to play baseball in. We've seen him struggle in Philly before, but you know, he's still in that lineup. Once they start to hit, he'll start to hit. The one that really that I am dropping out of that group is Marcelo Mayer. the fact he's platooning, he's got the prospect pedigree, but he just isn't producing, and they don't have time with how that team's doing to wait on that. So I am dropping him. The one I'm probably most excited about moving forward is Brett Beatty, especially with the opportunity. Now they just got outfield eligibility. The guy, you know, is a good hitter. His numbers have taken a little dip, but he still had a 10% barrel rate. Exit velocity actually has gone up. He just, you know, needs to make a little more contact. He's just swinging, missing a little bit, but again, hopefully he can get everyday playing time. He just hit a tank last night, got out in a hurry. So he's probably the one I'm most excited about out of the group. I think Manzardo will be fine and Baum will be fine. And Meyer, I'm really worried about.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the same page with you. I know that Meyer was dropped in, I think, 28% of main events over the last couple of weeks. I think you might see that dip a little bit more unless some, you know, power spark happens. But just seems like a guy that's might get sent down to the minors eventually. I think he's like cursed by association, by being like good buddies with Tristan Casas. And Casas is like, sorry, this isn't real fantasy advice or assessment. This is my crazy mind. But like, you know, you got that kind of like bad juju around Casas, and like good things aren't going to happen to you. So yeah, I'm not a huge fan of his. I think he's an easy drop. I think Alec Bohm, you mentioned it, like these things that he's going through personally are weighing on him. Add in the fact that most of Philly is struggling. Most of these guys, they're losing a lot. Their pitchers are getting shelled. Brandon Marsh is the only guy really, you know, kind of producing. Him and Schwarber, of course, always Schwarber. And we talked about this, by the way, on a pod. You remember in the preseason, I kind of didn't have a great feeling about the Phillies this year. The one part I can't wrap my head around, I haven't dug into too much, is the heck is going on with Christopher Sanchez? Just getting, you know, absolutely whipped.
Yeah, I mean, that game yesterday is just depressing. I believe the forecast in Chicago yesterday was the wind blowing straight out, though. So, trying to pitch more, a little extra to contact, get the ball on the ground, and a lot of seeing eye hits. But Sanchez hasn't been good. A lot of, you know, our big starting pitchers haven't been great so far. It's been a challenging year already, right? Then, you know, if you got it right, you're sitting great. But, you know, you're scared to death if you have Garrett Crochet. You're worried if you have Christopher Sanchez. Paul Skeens has not been the normal Paul Skeens. Even Tarik Skubal got hit yesterday. Baseball's hard. Pitching's hard. Yeah. Hitting's hard. Fantasy's hard. That's why we enjoy it, though, is trying to figure that out.
Yeah, yeah. Tarik Skubal and Brady Tkachuk of the Senators, who are about to get swept. They both had, breakdowns yesterday. Other little reactions there. If you are a hockey fan, Brady Tkachuk's probably out. He's going to be gone after this season, coming back to the United States. Alec Bohm, you know, at some point he's going to have a hot streak. This is a guy that's hitting 160, who typically hits 270, 280 and plus, and doesn't hit a lot of home runs. You know exactly what you get. I have no problem dropping him now. And at some point someone else will drop him if he continues to struggle. And then hopefully you can time it with picking him back up when you need it. Third base can be an issue sometimes if you really need a corner. Listen, I think they're probably guys that you could stream over the next couple of weeks that I feel more confident in than to go with Alec Bohm. Manzardo is kind of a problem right now. Him and guys like Torkelson, I noticed he's on your team. I wrote about Torkelson literally just 2 days ago, and as I was writing how bad he is and how streaky he is, he hits his first home run of the season. The next day, his second home run of the season. That's how these guys roll, these high power, low average guys. So you just got to wait for the Manzardo thing. He's not going to hit a lot of home runs against lefties, and I think they're going to face 3 to 4 lefties next week. So there's no reason to pick up Manzardo for next week. Definitely don't start him. And I think it's fine to drop him in 12s and 15s. I would bench him. Brett Beatty's the guy of those four that I like the best. I agree with you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of it just, we have to start, you know, talking crap about these guys and they'll pick it up. My buddy August was talking about how bad Jacob Marcy's been, and then he hits a homer and has 2 steals, and you know, I just got to talk bad about him, wake him up a little bit, you know, as soon as they want to prove us wrong, you know, they hear us.
Oh yeah. Oh, they absolutely do. Will Matt McClain hear us? That's a really good question. Strikeouts down. We're talking middle infielders now. Strikeouts are down. That's a one good thing. 24%, which for him is good. He's usually 29, 30. Walks are up. He's still hitting second. 4 of 6 on the stolen bases. But the home runs, where have they gone? His launch angle's up, I think. 10 degrees, somewhere around 23, 25. I don't think that really makes a difference, but he doesn't have a home run this year. And this was the hottest hitter, power hitter in baseball in the spring. And I got people, you know, chirping me and coming at me, and I'm standing firm. I'm a hold on Matt McClain. You can bench him if you want, but you got to hold Matt McClain for now.
Yeah. And, you know, as a fantasy community, spring training's very elusive to us, or, you know, it really is kind of a phantom stats, especially hitting wise. They really don't carry over into the majors. Once the season starts, they're facing a lot of bad pitchers. You know, pitchers, I think, would matter a lot more, especially velocity. Now, McClain's bat speed being up does matter. You're not drafting McClain to hit 25 homers. You're drafting him to hit 15 homers and have 25 steals. So I'm with you. I'm a hold. I know he got dropped in at least one main last week, so I'll be interested to see what his price will go for, because he has been really struggling. But, you know, ever since that hot start in the majors when he got called up, he has not been the same guy. And so what is he? I don't know. I know you're a big fan. I'm holding. I'm definitely going to try to bench until I see something. You know, and the fear is that you're going to miss a breakout, you know, series or game, you know, so be it. Let me get the guy that's playing a little better if I can. So, yeah, he's definitely not a drop for me yet. In a 12, if I can pick up someone that's better, I feel better than he possibly, but in a 15, no way.
Yeah. Yeah, and even coming up this week, like their first series, Tuesday through Thursday next week, is going to be at home, and it's against the Rockies. So that's I'm going to play him for that, and then maybe look if maybe the next series, if he's facing a couple of lefties, or it's, you know, it's going to be some of these Pirate starters, depending on what the mix is of that. Might be careful there, but yeah, he's a hold for me for sure. And yeah, I'm just as a McClainiac, I'm just obnoxiously starting him, but don't always.
Speaking of obnoxious.
Hey, TM, man, TM, trademark. Bryson Stott, I actually picked him up in a 12 teamer, just one of those, like, hey, let's just, it was like $21 or something like that. I think he had a bunch of righties coming up and could use some speed on that team, but I think he's like a borderline guy in 12s because, again, he's a middle infielder that isn't playing every day. He is a platoon bat, and I have an issue with that. I think Luis Angel Acuña is in the same boat where he's not playing every day. He gives you one specific thing, really, which is stolen bases. Stott gives you more than that, obviously, but you got to pick your spots, and it's hard to have too many of these platoon guys on your team because it doesn't always line up perfectly every single time.
Yeah, and I think Stott's, you have a note in here that he has gotten unlucky with his XBA. You know, I'm looking across the board. His exit velocity is up almost 2 miles an hour. His barrel rate's the highest it's ever been. It's still only 5.5%, so it's not great. Hard hit rate's almost at 50%. So, you know, there's some positive things with Stott. You know, he is going to sit against a lot of lefties, is what it is. You knew that drafting him, but I'm not giving up on him yet. And you just have those five steals, which do matter. I think once it warms up a little bit, you're going to see some balls fly out from Stott.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So in a 15 teamer, you hold bench when they've got two lefties in a series, three or four lefties in a week. Two Mets here, Marcus Semien and Jorge Polanco. Jorge Polanco, I think, is only available in 10% of main events. I think 12 teamers, we're not even concerned with him, but is he somebody you stash if you have no bench stashes? Like he's dealing with a wrist contusion, but really I think it's a cover up for the Achilles that hasn't been healing, and, you know, new team and everything hasn't adjusted. So what would you do with him? And then, you know, Marcus Semien, this is a guy that I haven't liked for many years, just haven't been drafting. And I picked him up late in a lot of leagues, and maybe it's a subconscious, like, psychological doubling down that I'm continuing to hold him. But honestly, he's been the same guy even this year. Look at all his underlying metrics, all kind of the same stuff. On top of that, he's got 3 stolen bases in his last 4 games. So maybe he heats up when the Mets start to heat up.
Yeah. Semien, with the running the last couple games, has really kind of lessened my stressometer with him, because I got him in a couple places as well. He is what he is. He's going to bat. He's going to hit 12 to 15 homers. He's going to have 15 to 18 steals, hopefully bat about 240. You know, get you runs and RBIs. Where you drafted him, it should be usable. So I don't think he's expired yet, as he kind of looked to start the season. He's going to go through some ugly stretches, but he is going to suit up every day, be on the field every day. So, you know, I'm definitely starting him right now because he is starting to run a little bit and he seems in a little bit of a hot stretch. Jorge Polanco is interesting because I agree with you that this wrist contusion was probably to get him off his feet. Achilles tendonitis does not sound good, Vlad. You know, for us being in our 40s and he's not far away from his 40s, that sounds pretty painful to play baseball with. Yeah. They need him in the lineup. He's probably a hold one more week. I think he's eligible to come off the IL this weekend. To see if he does come back and how he looks, but he's getting really close to the drop for me.
Yes. And yeah, 12 teamers, go ahead and drop him. 15 teamers. I think it's a matter of is he the only IL guy or stash guy on your bench that maybe you can hold it another week? Shouldn't be out that long. Otherwise, I think it's okay. I think it's okay to drop him because, you know, this is a guy with on the other side of 30, long injury history. And, you know, what do we really want? What do we expect out of a guy that isn't 100% fully healthy? And these things don't just heal overnight. So I think I'm trending towards kind of moving away from that.
Yep.
What about young guys with injuries, with setbacks?
Oh man, I'm kicking myself. Jackson Holliday, I have stashed on one of my, one of my auction teams, and I went to drop him last week and then I saw he played in a game and then got reassigned to AAA. And I was like, okay, he might be coming back. I looked at his rest of the season projections. Everything looked good. He, there's something wrong. And for that wrist to start being it hurt again, there's something going on there. So he is 100% drop for me. And kind of, if he comes back, you know, in June and is good, so be it. But I cannot waste that bench spot anymore on my team. And I feel like I waited a week too late and I'm disappointed in myself.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that works. Again, there's thinking more is less as far as like what we've invested in them and more like where is our team at? What is our situation at the current moment? And what's the upside? Like holding a guy that continues to have setbacks that when he does come back, might just be off to a slow start, probably platoon, may not play against lefties at all, and could have another setback. So this definitely seems like an issue there. Outfielders. So we got a lot of interesting names here. I want to just start off here with Joe G. If Cam Smith's a drop in 12-team shallow, and I'm sorry, I gotta just mention this, Joe. This is really funny because we were in DM the other day. He asked me, if Cam Smith for Landon Roop was a good deal. And I said, yeah, go ahead, get Landon Roop. But I didn't realize that you were the one offering him for Landon Roop. So the guy said no. And so I asked him if he's a drop in a 12-team shallow. Yeah, I think he is, because then you can get him back later maybe.
Yeah, I'm personally a big Cam Smith guy. Top prospect, seems to be figuring it out. I'm giving Cam Smith another week, especially, I mean, and it depends how shallow your 12 is, but I think he's a usable start for me. So I'm on the other side of that.
Yeah. And his numbers have been actually fine. He's just been a little bit cold, but I mean, this guy had a really good first 3 weeks and he's playing every day. Brenton Doyle, really just not the same guy that he's been. The manager there in Colorado, Warren Schaefer, he probably wakes up in the morning. He's like, oh, I get to set my lineup and I'm going to make it completely different from last time. The guy is, you know, for anyone following these lineups, they're like all over the place. And unfortunately, Brenton Doyle is hitting .214. He's running. He's got some stolen bases, but he's losing playing time to righties. What do you do with Doyle?
Yeah, I think Tovar and Goodman are the only two everyday guys now on that team. They have like 11 guys for 7 spots, and it is a disaster. Again, you go back to the draft costs, and you, as much as you want to disassociate, there's a reason you put what you did on him in the draft, whether it was an auction or the snake draft, because of the skills. He's got the steals. Coors is going to warm up. You know, he's an injury away from playing every day or a hot streak from playing every day. But, you know, ever since the issue with his, I believe it was a tragic issue with a kid last year, He has not been the same baseball player. And he might not ever been as good as he thought. He might have been playing over his head and then everything kind of crashed back down. So he's currently a bench. He's probably a drop in a 12 for me, and he's a bench in a 15.
Yeah, and the thing is, so last second half, or the last 2-3 months of the season last year, he was pretty good. I mean, like he stepped up, but this is a whole new manager here. Like you said, he's just mixing and matching guys. So I think there'll be a better time for Doyle. It might be in the summer and an all Coors week against, you know, bad opponents, but I think it's okay to drop him and kind of cut the cost there. Jack Caglione, or as Anthony Gialdi tells us, that everyone says it wrong, and he is Italian, so I believe him, that it should be Caglione. But I feel like he's a guy people are going to regret dropping. Am I wrong?
Yeah, he's two. He's one hot streak away from having six homers, it feels like, right? Yeah, I mean, that guy with the exit velocity and the swing. You know, I remember him and Nick Kurtz came up last year, and there was not a huge difference between their profiles. Kurtz went nuts, figured it out, and Caglione, there you go, Anthony, did not. You know, there's something to position switch, guy moving from first to outfield that we take for granted. You know, you watch kind of Bo Bichette going from short to third in a big market in New York. It's hard on these guys. Position changes are not easy, and that's something moving forward I'm really going to pay attention to. This is Caglione's second year in the outfield, so, you know, he hasn't done anything yet, but I'm still starting him unless they got a bunch of lefties.
Yeah. And, you know, coming up for next week, they're going to be in Sacramento. I think it's going to be a little cooler next week, if I'm not mistaken, but you probably know better. You're closer to it. But most likely on tap would be Jacob Lopez, Aaron Civale, and Luis Severino. So you'll get, you know, two righties there. And depending on what you have, I think you might start them there. Next weekend, it's three righties, but it's Brian Wu, Hancock, and Castillo. I think that's a little bit more debatable. If you see him start to heat up, I don't think any pitcher can stop him, and I would start him.
Anytime you get to start a hitter against Severino in Sacramento, who he just hates that mound and pitches terrible, you try to do it.
Yeah, you just got to do it.
Let me circle back to middle infielder who's now in outfield, Luis Angel Acuna. Is he a guaranteed drop? Because I look at it like we drafted him kind of for a reason. He's kind of a mini rabbit and without a lot of draft costs. He does have six steals. He is losing playing time. Is he a no doubt drop? I know in a 12 he is. What about a 15?
So for me, it's the construction of my team. So the 115 teamer that I have him on, that team is strong in stolen bases, and it's got Caballero, and I'm duplicating my squad by having them both. Like, you don't, I've learned the hard way before. You have Caballero and a Victor Scott, someone like that, on your team, and you're playing them both. You're really putting yourself in a tough position in power. You only have, you know, so many starting lineup slots, and so that's an issue. So I think it really depends on, you know, looking at the upcoming matchups, and I'm seeing five righties next week, most likely, and he's only playing against lefties. That could change. Someone gets hurt. But as of now, I think I see him as a drop.
Yeah, I'm leaning that way. I always am short on speed, so I hate doing that because, you know, if he gets a run and gets hot, you're looking at a 30 to 40 stolen base guy pretty easily. And he is an Acuna, so,
you know. No, he is Acuna.
He has struggled against major league pitching. He's getting the bat knocked out of his hand, which is not good.
He has a teammate there who is kind of a little sneaky pickup. I mean, he was in the article last week. I got him for, you know, under the max. But Everson Pereira, who has really looked good, and today's Friday, he's going to be leading off today in the lineup. So hopefully he can make it worth it for the week.
I've been a fan of him. He's batting cleanup. They seem to really like him playing every day too.
Colton Cowser of the Orioles. Do you have any shares? He's got no homers, no stolen bases. Where are you with Cowser?
I'm going to drop with prejudice.
Drop with prejudice.
He sucks.
Screw you, man.
God, he sucks. You know, I thought there was some upside there this year coming in, you know, with the 15 homers, 14 steals last year, even with the bad batting average. You think the athletic part would take over? He's losing playing time. He's not the guy.
Yeah, they just, you know, Adley Rutschman was just activated. They're going to be using Masayo Moore in DH. Tyler O'Neill was just activated, had a little concussion thing. So they'll play him when he's hot, right? Like when he's good. I think he could still get his 15-15, but I think, you know, our, you know, thoughts of getting, you know, having like a 25-20 season are probably out. And also the stolen base, I'm sorry, the batting average is going to be an issue as well.
Yeah.
three guys that are kind of similar in a way, Sal Frelick, TJ Friedl, and Justin Crawford. Where would you roto married divorce kill?
You know, I was a big Sal Frelick guy to start the year. You know, he's still got 10 runs, even struggling. He hit a homer opening day, I think. So, he hasn't hit a homer since, but he's going to be a 10 to 12 homer guy, but the batting average, what scares me, but, he's just in a funk. You have a note in here, which is accurate. He could lead off if he gets hot, because Bryce Terang is becoming more of a run producer rather than a table setter. Mm-hmm. So definitely like Frelick. TJ Friedl might have expired. He looks really lost out there. And Justin Crawford, I'm still holding on optimism. You know, he's still hitting all right. No power. The scary part for me is not running and batting ninth ahead of that top of the lineup and Schwarber and Harper. How much running is he going to do? I really thought he'd be a 30 to 40 steal guy. I thought he'd have 5 to 6 steals already. So mm-hmm. I'm a little concerned there. So if I'm between the three of them, I'm starting Sal Frelick, I'm benching Justin Crawford, and I'm cutting TJ Friedl.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I'm on the same page. And that's a great point about Frelick. Is a few games ago, Frelick, manager Pat Murphy had him lead off, because really I think his realization is, like you said, Bryce Terang is like a 2-3 hitter in that lineup. They'd like somebody to who can get on base. And Frelick is a double digit stolen batting average guy. So maybe this next week. I mean, next week next 2 weeks they've got some good matchups. They're playing the Diamondbacks, they're playing the Nationals, and they're playing the Cardinals. So he could probably get going. Justin Crawford, I'm with you there. Just gotta hold out for better times ahead. And Friedl kind of does look lost.
Yeah.
Pitchers. Let's who haven't we talked about? We already talked about the Braves guys for the most part. We talked about Bayo. Mets, Kodai Senga, David Peterson, where are you with them?
Senga is interesting because his velocity seems to diminish pretty quickly during the games. You know, I was all into him. I'm pretty sure I got him in our main together because his velocity was up to 98. And that's where he sat when he was really good that first year. But he has not been able to hold it. I don't think he's had a win in 3 years. I saw some obscure stat about that. I'm very concerned about Senga. I don't know if David Peterson's going to get another start. Has that been confirmed? Because I thought he was moving to the bullpen.
Yeah, it was just for skip a rotation bullpen, and then he's going to start next Wednesday. So if you go to RotoWire, you'll see Monday, Saturday, but I think, or Tuesday, Sunday, but that's already been moved. So he would get next Wednesday for another chance. But I think Peterson's fine to be a drop. I think he could get back in the rotation at some point. Senga, I still like. I mean, the strikeouts are up, the walks are up, but that's been an issue for him before. Overall, I think the velocity is actually up despite the dip, in game. And he gets Coors this weekend, so most likely people started him this week. We'll see. Let's see how the rotation folds out and whether he gets, who his next matchups are going to be. But a good start against the Rockies at home, I think, would go a long way. But I think I would lean to holding on to him.
Yeah, and I guess this is a bigger question with David Peterson is, what is Christian Scott? Because RotoWire has him out of the rotation. If he's out of the rotation, Peterson's back in, but Peterson hasn't exactly earned that spot, too. He hasn't been very good, and the Mets haven't been very good. It'll be interesting to see what they do with that, because if they just send if they keep Scott up, I would probably say he's going to be in the rotation with Peterson as the long man. If they send him back down, then it's Peterson.
It's hard to how, after that outing and everything that you've been through, the Mets, how do you have a guy get blasted or give walk so many guys, look completely lost, and then keep them in the rotation, right? Like, I feel like Scott's like a temporary one and done. And maybe that's why they're giving Peterson another chance. And maybe there's an opportunity in a couple of weeks. But the other thing is, Peterson, even though he stunk this year, the last few seasons, he's been dependable, right? So I think they think he might get back to there. And of course, there's Jonah Tong in the mix at some point. I don't know how he's been doing in AAA, but that's another interesting name.
Yeah. He Yeah, I really don't know. I mean, and Scott Ginstead was correct. He did throw a no-hitter, Christian Scott. five walks in an inning and a third. So I don't know. He's one of their top prospects. I don't know how they're going to use him. But I guess if he's still on the roster this week and I'm interested, and Peterson, I don't know. So the other one on here that's kind of sad, Dean Kramer, I know there was quite a bit of money spent on him. You know, not like the big Arrighetti and Schultz bids, but I just looked and he out on the IL with a quad injury. So, you know, is that an immediate drop? I don't know how you hold Dean Kramer, you know, but is that just one start? I guess it's a drop. Where are you at with him?
I actually have a side bet rest of season with Jason Santi that we did on Twitter, his Kramer versus my Arrighetti. So I guess I'm off to a bit of a lead there, but I think if you really like him and, you know, if you have another drop, like maybe you can hold on. But the thing is, it's for pitchers, it's a longer DL stint. So usually, you know, you're missing essentially like two turns in the rotation. It's 15 days, but it's not an arm. It's not a shoulder. And he looked amazing in the minors and those two starts and added a new pitch. And so he's been really good. But I probably would drop him. Mike Burrows, Bubba Chandler, and Merrill Kelly, bench, start, and whatever the third thing is, drop.
Fire into the sun. Mike Burrows, I'm okay with. You know, he had a no-hitter or a perfect game going into the fifth inning against the Cardinals and then just kind of imploded. He's getting a lot of swing and miss. His underneath is not bad, just getting a little bit of bad luck, as is every Houston pitcher. If they're not injured, they're getting blown up. But I'm fine with him. Bubba Chandler, I am benching. It's a really scary under the hood right now, not throwing strikes. And he's getting a lot of hard hit against him. He does have some good matchups against the Cardinals and the Reds coming up. So if you own him, that's hard to bench, but I probably need to see it. Merrill Kelly, I have him and he just destroyed me in one of my leagues. You know, you think he'd be in a perfect SP 7-8. He was throwing batting practice, in the last game that he was pitching. That being said, he started off exactly like this last year, and he got it together and he looked pretty good. I do worry about the age. I believe he's 37, 38 now. The numbers, I think, will be fine. I don't believe I'm dropping him. But out of the three, if I had to drop one, it'd be Kelly, bench Chandler, and start Burrows.
Drop who?
I would drop Merrill Kelly out of the three.
Yeah, I'm exactly with you. Burrows, so this guy I invested in, I touted, I was big on, and like you mentioned, he's run into some bad luck. He's got a batting average of balls in play close to 380. He's got an ERA that's like 2 to 3 runs lower than his expected. So I think there are probably better days ahead. Velocity's fine, swinging striker, everything's fine there. So, you know, hopefully he gets some easier matchups coming up. I know he's had a bit of a rough stretch. And then when he gets to the bullpen, like just those guys can't close it, can't finish it up. So they need Hader back quickly. Bubba Chandler, really a disappointment, a 530 Sierra, 15% walk rate, strikeout rate under 20%. So people have a tough decision to make next week. Like if you can't start him for a home two start against Seattle and Cincinnati, then you got to bench or drop him, I think.
Yeah. He's really close to the drop. There's just a lot of tantalizing upside with that arm. It's a really hard guy to drop because if he figures it out or gets sent down for a month and then figures it out and gets called back up, he's going to go for $200+ on Fab.
That's something good on the starting pitchers. Let's wrap things up here with the relievers. A lot of questions about whether Edwin Diaz is a drop. Edwin Diaz, to me, is a drop.
Yeah, if you're trying to stash someone for 3 months with the hope he comes back healthy and is pitching well, you're playing the wrong game. I think it's a pretty easy drop, no matter what the format is. This is an interesting one. I've been actually waiting for your response on your boy, Jordan Romano. What are you doing with him?
Benched him this week. I don't even remember the last time he's even pitched or got in a game.
Pitched up 4 Got two strikeouts and gave up two hits, no runs, but no save.
Yeah, I think like in a lot of metrics, underlying metrics, he's like one of the worst guys out there. Yeah, he hadn't pitched in like 5 days. Like, he threw on Wednesday. Sam Bachman is the righty in that pen that's kind of moving up because Kirby Yates is, he's on rehab. That's not going too well. Chase Silseth blew a save opportunity on Wednesday. Kurt Suzuki last weekend talked about maybe getting him involved. Suzuki hasn't been managing that bullpen very well. Drew Pomeranz he brought in, I think for like, you know, a bunch of righties or something like that on Tuesday.
Twitter went nuts when he did that. Yeah, it was really, really funny.
Yeah, it was a bit good. So I think in deep leagues, I think Sam Bachman could be like a sneaky little ad. I'm not dropping Romano yet. Let's wait to see what happens this weekend.
Okay. Trevor McGill, I have a couple shares. He's actually looked pretty good since getting demoted. I am definitely holding him. I believe it's Abner Uribe's job right now, but he has not looked like a world beater either. I believe that they want McGill to get the job back. I just don't know if he can stay healthy enough long enough to get that job back.
Yeah, if you have Trevor McGill, I think you hold him. I think even in some deeper leagues, you're in a position where you might even have to start him. Hope you get lucky with a win. Hopefully he gets the job back this weekend. It's not guaranteed when you have a good pitcher like Abner Uribe. It could have already been not much of a discussion if Uribe had just kind of run with it, but he's been struggling, you know, giving up runs in three or four of his appearances. Hold on to Trevor McGill. Victor Vodnik, I'm so sorry for the five runs, but listen, you reap what you sow, right? You start Victor Vodnik, you take it.
Drop. Next.
Gregory Soto.
There's a lot of money spent on him. I do think he's going to get 10 to 15 saves throughout the course of the year. You might miss seven of them is the problem because you're not starting him. If you need a roster spot and you think there's a closer out there better, then I would drop him. That one's tough because his skills actually look pretty good under the hood.
Yes. That's a tough one for sure. Soto, there could be some guys you can bid on. I think obviously if like Tanner Scott's available in your league, you got to go for it. Possibly even Alex Vesia, who I think is in the mix, though I think Tanner Scott is ahead there. And Ryan Walker, he's back in the picture. I dropped him in a 12-teamer. I did it where he was my fourth closer or reliever and just didn't make sense. So look at me justifying my drops on a guy who has now saved two games in a row. How do you see things going for him the rest of the year?
I don't think he's very good. He's not missing any bats. If I had to guess, his over under for save total for the year would be 10, and I would bet the wow. under. Wow. I don't believe that he's going to take that job and run with it. Watching him close out the Dodger games, he did good, but still not missing the bats. And that slingshot delivery, he does not know where the ball is going, so he's going to walk too many guys. I don't know what that bullpen's going to shake up. It might be a split of Walker, Eric Miller, and Cole Wynn. Or not Cole Wynn.
Keaton. What about Keaton Killian?
I don't believe Killian's there yet. He did get used in the eighth in their last win, but that was due to, I think, previous game usages. He is moving up the ladder. I think that was only his second game listening to Dan's report that he had pitched with the lead. And so he's kind of fourth in line, maybe fifth in line, but his stuff has been great as well. I really like Eric Miller. I actually picked him up quite a bit last week. He is a big burly lefty. They have another lefty coming off the IL that they got from Cleveland last year that they can have move up the leverage ladder. And anytime he looks in the entire opposing dugout and says, you know, F you, F you, F you, that's my kind of closer I want on my team. And, you know, he came in, faced the top of the lineup against the Dodgers and got him out. So I still think he's on the small side of it. So it's Walker's right now. I don't believe he keeps it.
Last guy here, Lucas Erceg. You got Carlos Estevez. Who knows how the velo is? I know he was going to start rehab. I don't know if he started it. I don't think that's something that's concerned right now, but Erceg has not looked good either. I'm holding on to him, and if I can get away with it, I'll bench him too.
Yeah, he's on my drop list. I don't know if I'm going to get to him, but his numbers are atrocious. He looks like a Jordan Romano light. But yeah, he's not going to keep the job. And I don't know if it's Estevez. I don't know if it's Strom. You know, Nick Mears hasn't been very good. Schreiber hasn't been very good. So I don't know where they're going there, but he's not missing any bats. And he's walking guys too. It's a bad combination for a closer. I think Estevez is going to get another shot, but if he's throwing 89, 90, he's not going to keep it either. So it might be a sneaky Matt Strom stash this weekend to see if you can kind of get the guy. I do have two questions that are not on the agenda for you real quick. Who is the righty in the Dodgers bullpen that will get saves in, if it's a committee?
So I think Tanner Scott is going to get most of the opportunities, and like something like a 65, 25 Vesia, and then, you know, 10 for the righties. And I think it'll be less situational. It should be Edgardo Henriquez, because that guy throws heat. He's a beast. I think you might see some bids on him, because like Trinan has not looked good. I don't think he's I think he might be toast.
And why was the correct answer Roky Sasaki?
Really is, huh? Snell's coming back soon.
Yeah. Any concern with Jeff Hoffman? Any drop thoughts there?
I'm not going to drop him. They didn't outright kick him out of the job. They said that he's going to, you know, kind of go into a committee with Louis Varland. Louis Varland's been electric. He's been a much better pitcher, even if you consider Hoffman's high K rate. So he just seems to be a little bit more trustworthy. So he could start to pull away, but I need to wait and see. So I'm not ready to drop Jeff Hoffman yet, unless you're like in a 10 teamer.
You're not going to drop a 40% K rate?
No, I'm not going to do it.
Awesome, Vlad. It's great to see you again, man.
You too, my man. Actually, last thing I wanted to mention was looking forward to Saturday, every Tuesday and every Saturday. Dan Thompson records a 15-minute quick hitter pod on relievers. Make sure you check that out. It's in the feed. Subscribe to our channel so that you can be able to get those. But I'll be interested to hear what he has to say about the Athletics bullpen, because, you know, like many of us expected, Joel Kuhnel starting to, you know, to crack at the seams this week. Jack Perkins, a really good pitcher, starting to kind of perk up, and no pun intended there. But if Perkins perks up and gets a save up this weekend, you might see somebody really climbing and going for a lot more than we originally expected.
Yeah, it's a good call.
So for thank you, everybody. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll get this up on the audio feed on the Fantasy FTN podcast, Apple and Spotify soon enough. But hope you have a great weekend. Hope your pitchers don't get shelled. For Jason Anthony, I'm Vlad Sedler. This is the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. We'll talk to you next week.